Microphone check. Does my mic sound nice? Yes, it does. Welcome to this week's episode of It's About Damn Time. We focus on the real journey to being 1% better every damn day. Welcome to this week's episode of It's About Damn Time. I am Jared Damn, back in the building once again. And if you're new here, don't worry about it. I got you. It's About Damn Time, the podcast about self-discovery. It is my self-journey. I'm on the road to building a better me, and hopefully through conversations and revelations, you too can build a better you, because we in this together. And we need to be together for this conversation right here we about to have. Because look, for the second time, I have the beautiful, the talented, the poet, the singer, the entrepreneur. Jazz, what don't you do? Jazzy, nah. Janae. Okay, look, that's a real one right there. Stop me in my tracks. I ain't did math since like spring of 99. Jazzy Janae Joyner is with me. Girl, what's going on? What's happening?
Hi, I'm so happy to be back. Thank you for having me.
I'm glad you're here. Because I want to look, I need to break this all the way down. I know you got some stuff. I know you got a particular project coming up. And because you do, it inspired this conversation. When it comes to like love, mm-hmm. I'm like 45 years old, right? And I know I don't look it, you know what I'm saying? You know, the beard is popular. Thank you very much. Well, 45 years old, and there has been moments where I knew I should have left. Mm. Like, I knew I should have left, and I stayed anyway.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, me too.
So,
yeah,
when you told me about the title that you and your collaborator was working on, I should have known by the way you kissed me. I said, okay. So we ain't talking about kissing. We talking about intuition. We talking about, I should have,
Yeah. Like I knew, but I still, you know, made these choices.
I want to start first about that title in mm-hmm. general, because that, when you first told me about it, it gave me chills. Like, what? Mm. Where,
I love that.
Where does that come from? Did you have a kiss like that? That you were just like, oh, this is going to be some trouble.
I've definitely had situations where I just, like you, I'm like, oh, you know, I knew this was going to be this and I should have left. Even like, sometimes even before like the kiss or before I even got there, I'm just like, this is going to be one of those situations.
Yeah.
But I'm going to do it for the plot. So I was like, okay, let's see where it goes. It's always a bad decision.
Every time we say we're going to do it for the plot, it's always a bad decision. But time we say we're going to do it for the plot, we got to do it for the
plot. We got to do it for the plot at that point. Like, you got to see it through. even if it's just for the stories at that point. Just for the poems.
I'm not a poet, but yeah, I got some stories.
Some stories.
All right. Well, so, before we get into just talking about, you know, stuff, you know, stories that inspired the book, I want to warm you up first. You know what I mean? I want to get you right. We're going to play a little game, you know. It just came to me, you know, 30 minutes before we start recording. I was like, let's play Should Have Known. Okay. So I'm going to give you a list of examples, mm-hmm. you know, and then you tell me, was it, you know, lesson? Was it love? Was it longing? What am I missing?
Lust.
Yeah, you got to tell me if it was lust. Yeah, I knew I was missing something. A big L for me.
Okay.
I'm not trying to say I'm nasty. I might be talking too much too early. All right.
I know. Save it for the middle.
We'll save it for the middle. Okay. All right. So I'm going to give you some examples. Now, here's a little caveat. I got you. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? I don't want you to feel like you all exposed.
Okay.
We out here. You know what I'm saying? So if there's a question I give you that you like, or I don't know if I'm ready to sit there and process that yet. Or if you just look at me and be like, I know Jared has to look for that. You can hit me with the Uno reverse and I got an answer.
I love it. Okay.
All right. Yeah, I'm excited. It's only fair. It's only fair.
I'm excited.
All right. Let's do it. Okay. All right. They kissed you, but they never really asked real questions about your life.
If you go through with that, that's definitely got to be about some lust because there's no real substance, no real connection. No. It's just like, all right, this person, like, we're going to get down to business and that's it. Yeah.
Look, because I ain't trying to put out my, whatever. You know what I'm saying? We're in the safe space. Come on, you know?
Tell me. I'm listening. Give me the tea. Give me the tea.
Look, there have been some times where I know this person didn't even know my last name. Like, I don't know how, you may go to a conference, you know what I'm saying? Like in college, you know, you just meet somebody.
You're like, oh, yeah,
you know, it was passionate on the steps and one thing leads to another. And I'm just like, whoa, I'm trying to find a bus fare to get down to New Orleans to see her. Like, honestly, I don't know her last name at this point anymore, but that was some time ago.
You're like, hey, you know, we had a time. A time was had.
Yeah. Okay. All right. The next one. They text you all day, but disappear when you need support.
That's going to be an L right there. That's going to be an L right there. Mm. Like, if somebody can text you, and I've definitely had people who are like, oh, we're texting. They'll, like, tell me their life story or their problems or whatever. I'm there for them. And then, boom, I need them. And it's like, where are you? Crickets, where are you? Yeah. That person got to be a lesson right there.
Mm-hmm. That's got to be a lesson. And I know that... Look, I personally know that you had that because you were Pisces. You know what I mean? Like, I know, yeah. I know the water side, the giving, you know, you want to make sure everybody good and everything. Yeah. And then you're like, hey, what about me? Oh, man, sorry.
They're like, no, we have nothing left in our cup to pour into you. I'm sorry, girl. I'm like, I need friends too.
right. All right. The chemistry is insane, but you felt anxious after you left.
No, it's giving some longing vibes. Maybe some like longing. A little longing and lust in there. Like, okay, like you met up with them, bam, you did it. Chemistry was off the charts. And then you leave and you're just like, ugh, like, I don't know what's happening with this, but like, I like this person, but also like, I don't know, not completely feeling like we're there, like we're heading in that direction. So,
Yeah. I've definitely been there where I am, I struggle. I get nervous about situations where it's ultra passionate early, like, and not even on a sexual level, like where it just like that conversation is so fucking intense, and I want to talk to them all the time. They want to talk to me all the time, and they every spare moment, and I those situations scare the hell out of me because. Mm-hmm. They burn bright and they burn fast and they burn quick.
Yeah. I actually was talking to my therapist about this. I think that was earlier this month. And I was like telling her about a past situation. And I was like, my friend said this was love bombing. And she was like, well, tell me about the situation. She's like, yeah, that's definitely some love bombing. Like, nobody is really telling you at the beginning, like, I've never met anyone like you before. Like, they probably haven't. But still, it's a little intense for like early on in the day. And I was like, well, dang. Yeah, it was really intense. Like, you're texting all the time. Like, we're, like, saying all these things. Like, the chemistry's off the charts with me. Like, it was insanity. And I'm just like, you know, I'm learning how to, like, sit in a slow burn. I don't know that I'm there yet, but I'm learning how to sit in a slow burn because sometimes that really is where the magic is at. Like, you may not have it there immediately, but that's the thing that kind of, like, really is the lasting thing.
Yeah, I don't know how to do a slow burn. Like I want to learn
the art of the slow burn. Who is teaching us this? Somebody needs to have a class on this. Okay. Somebody needs to have a class on this. Okay.
Because I guess I feel like I'm doing I feel like I'm doing too much and I know it's, you know, it's all people pleasing, want to make sure people good, and then it's that intensity. So, like, they feeling it. So I'm like, okay, well, I got to keep, You know what messes me up? Why I can't do a slow burn? It's because I get told the phrase, whatever you start, you need to keep up. Mm. Right? If whatever I start, I need to keep up. If we've been talking like the last 2 weeks, like right before I go to bed and everything, and that's the norm now. Well, now for me, maybe I wasn't working on podcasting then. Maybe I didn't have, like, you know, some issues with, you know, with my daughter that she wants to sit there and talk to me. Or maybe maybe my family was calling me about something. Maybe I'm like, I'm burned out and I need just some time to recharge. But now I'm feeling guilty because I gotta keep up with what I started doing. And then when I stopped doing it, then now I'm acting funny. Which I do realize that there are a sect of people that do be doing stuff like that. But maybe I'm the problem. Maybe it is. I don't know. But, you know.
As a recovering people pleaser, like getting out of those ways slowly but surely, I definitely feel that. And, you know, I think for me, like with the art of a slow burn, I'm very much so either like I like you at the beginning or I don't. Like if I don't feel the romance initially, then I'm just kind of like, I don't know. Like, but I'm learning that like sometimes you really do just have to like see and let it come, because sometimes it isn't like immediate attraction, but like it grows. I don't know. I'm trying to like do things differently and have been doing them, which is hard because it's like you got to unlearn one thing and then like implement a new thing. And
I need to finish this game up, but you just told me something that I want to kind of briefly hit it, because as an individual that has spent most of his life being friend zone, where you like, since you know, you hold it through the whole thing, where you're like, but I like you off the rip, or I don't like you off the rip. Yeah. Now, even though situations I've been in be like a quick burn, I feel like it take a slow burn to get to like me.
You get the slow burn, and it goes.
Yeah, it's like that firecracker that don't pop with a short fuse, you know. But I think it's because I don't necessarily, I'm introverted, and I don't necessarily show all of my personality up front. I'm not a flashy dude. I like in my mind I want to be flashy, but I ain't got it like that. I just be like peeping out stuff and everything. So I'm not the, you gonna see me across the room and be like, ooh yeah, that's the one. I'm the one that you talk to at like 2 o'clock in the morning. Be like, why am I not dating him again? Like it's a realization that happens, like, you know,
and
like
you're
that.
Like, okay, like I need to do this. We need to make this happen. Yeah. You're like, you're kind of like, yeah, you're like the person who's like, oh, this is my friend. Like we're talking it to him. I'm telling him about this other dude who's messing up. And then I'm like, dang, like he's giving good advice. Like he's a good dude. And you're like, just like, wait a minute. Wait a minute now.
Yeah.
Something added up.
But that realization don't really come a whole lot. You know, because look, there was one point in time I remember being at work like a few years back. And I don't know how the conversation got started with me. I didn't bring it up. Obviously, I didn't. But somebody asked and they were like, Jerry, we know that you have a lot of friends that happen to be women. How many of them consider you their best friend or one of their best friends? Mm-hmm. And I'm going through the context and everything, and I was like, about 33. They were like, what?
They're like, wait a minute.
Jazz. Like, I can't believe those words came out of my mouth. All right, the last one.
Same way sometimes.
Yeah, I mean, look, all right, look, I'm just saying, get you a guy that you can talk on this too. You
know what I mean, saying? Apparently I need to do that. That's on my list now.
Okay, all right.
Okay,
you know, look,
I might be texting you.
That's what I'm saying. I'm happy to fill in. You know what I'm saying?
I'm like, you know what? Yeah. Okay.
Because I've heard it all, so it ain't going.
You're like, nothing will surprise me at this point.
It's nothing.
I'm so dead.
All right, the last one for this game. The first argument makes you want to run.
That's gonna be an L right there. There was no like, wait. The first argument makes you want to run. Is it running because it was like a really bad argument, or is it just like, oh, like this person, like I don't know. Like, what happened in the argument? I need some context on this one.
Well, I'm gonna take this one because I got a.
Okay.
I don't know if I got a story, but it's more so of like how I feel about some of these things. So. Mm-hmm. I be overthinking a lot. Like I told you that we talked about this a lot. I be overthinking a lot. And so when I have a situation where we have our argument, I'm looking at this. I'm like, this is going to be an argument in going forward. Like this is going to, like my ex-wife is a perfect example. Like the first time we had an argument, I think we argued about her family and we argued about, and in that it was about her doing so much for them and then not doing enough for her and not having that like ambition and drive to make sure that she was good with her stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And we had the little disagreement and everything and I mean, we passed it up. I don't even know if it was came to a resolution, but we passed it up. It was cool. Mm-hmm. Right? And in my mind, I'm like, we're going to argue about this for the rest of the relationship.
Oh no. Yeah. Like I feel like sometimes arguments are recurring. So I should have known from the first argument.
That argument, that's a real thing though. That first argument, like that will tell you what all your arguments is going to be based upon whatever an argument is. So, it might look different. It might show up in a different way, but that first argument is going to be your definitive argument for the remainder of your relationship. It never fails.
Yeah. I'm just thinking about all the like situations I've had where I've like ignored red signs. Like I had an ex tell me, oh, like my exes have told me that I'm kind of like really nonchalant and like you know, and just like the way that I show up or, you know, wanting more from me in that area. And I was just like, I just know this is gonna be like a thing. Yeah, sure enough.
So because that person was nonchalant and the ex told them that they were upset. It drove them crazy that they were so nonchalant, like they almost didn't care about anything. They didn't show any passion.
Yeah, just really nonchalant. Yeah, and then it became a thing in like our relationship because I was also kind of like, I'm gonna have to see what that looks like how that manifests itself and everything. But I could see it like it was coming up, and I was like, I need you to like have more concern or like passion in this situation. Like I need you to have more emotion about this.
So what would you need? What would you need? In what situation would you need more emotion? Because I'm asking because I'm pretty nonchalant and I just and it pisses people off.
I don't know. I think I'm just a very like emotional person, and I think now in life, like in many ways, like I don't show it as much as like I used to, but I'm very sensitive. So right. I'll be like, I don't know, like something random will like bother me or like I'll have emotions about it and I'll just be like, yeah, this like really bothered me. And they'll be looking at me like, what, girl? Like, okay, what do you mean this bother you? Like, I don't know. I've just had situations where I'm like, oh, this came off this way to me. And other people are like, girl, it's not that. Like, your feelings are valid, but I didn't see it that way kind of thing. You know, maybe they meant it this way or like maybe this, yeah. So kind of like that. But sometimes I see things in a way immediately where I'm like, what do they mean about this? Like, what? And it comes out to me in a certain way. And people are like, yo, chill. So.
look. Yeah. You know what? Noticing those personality traits early, you know, but you can't. And I ignore red flags too. Like I do.
The rose colored glasses be on.
Oh man, I just try to see the good in everybody, but
I know.
And the good's like there. It's just it might not just. It's the one thing I keep telling my ex wife when she tell me about some of the guys that she dates, and she talk about how they are a good guy. So I'm like, they may be a good guy, but that doesn't mean that they're good for you.
Yeah, that I was telling a friend of mine that the other day. I'm like, it doesn't mean that this person's a bad person, but they have some things that they need to work on that's not meshing with you right now. Or like, it's not really what you need at this moment. So I let them go work on their thing, whatever, you know. Yeah. Sometimes they're a good person, but not good for you. Or sometimes like they're a good person, but they have stuff they need to work on. And like you can't be with them at that point in time because they need to get through things. Like they're doing things that are triggering you and, you know.
Yeah. Yeah. when you're in a relationship, like how do you deal with those things? First of all, I think the thing about triggers, because first of all, I hate the word triggers, but we gonna stay right here in that pocket.
It's
right?
It's kind of like, it's overused. I don't know. Yeah, it's overused and not like always in the correct way.
Right, right, exactly.
Everybody's triggered. Like trigger is a triggery word. Okay.
<That part>. But also people might not even really know what their triggers are. So if you're in if you're in some type of relationship situation and someone does take you there, like how do you like identify it? Like how do you push through that? Because
you know, it really depends on the person, because I've had people that it's like we're just like it was just really toxic. And so, like, they're doing stuff and triggering me, and I'm just, like, popping off. But I've also had really healthy connections with people. And, I mean, this is, like, platonic, I said that really weird, platonic, romantic, familial. Like, it just kind of depends on the person. But if I have something that's really healthy, and I'm like, oh, you know, this made me feel a way, I probably will, like, step back and I'll be like, you know, I probably will tell them, like, hey, this made me feel a way, and I just need, like, a minute. I'll hit you up in like an hour after I have a chance to like reflect, calm down, think about kind of what I want to say, why this is bothering me, because it could be something where I'm like, it's not even about this person or this situation, but it's about, you know, something that happened many years ago. And that's like coming up in this situation. So I think in a healthy situation, I really can take that step back and be like, okay, you know, let me think about this before I just come in hot or just come in talking and I haven't really had time to like process. And I think those are the best situations, because usually if somebody gives me a chance to like really do that, I could come into the situation with a calm head and really communicate in a different way than if somebody's like not giving me space to like, we're going to like have this conversation right now. And then I'm, you know, just being more toxic. But I think sometimes I get triggered by things with people and I realize that it's not really because of them, but because of other stuff. Mm-hmm. And so those are things that I have to deal with and unpack, and also maybe explain it to them. Like, hey, you know, I got upset in this situation. It wasn't even about you. It was about this, that, and the third. And like, this is why this comes up for me. And it manifests in this way. And, you know, having those conversations where you can explain yourself and people can at least understand where you're coming from.
Yeah, no, that's true. That's real. That's real. I want to ask you just some questions, and then, you know, maybe if you tell me either if, you know, if it's in the book, you know, is an experience that you had, is something, you know, something just that just randomly, you know, when you think about it, when and covering, you know, when we talk about lust and talking about lessons and we talk about love. So first thing, I'm going to start with lust, because, you know, yeah, whatever. In regard of like, do you feel like there is a difference between physical intimacy and just sex in general? And if you do, which I'm pretty sure I know the answer to that. So if you do, describe what that means to you.
Mm-hmm. And I will say, as a side note, it's good to start with lust, because that's kind of how the book started. The book was going to be a book full of lust, pretty much, and then we kind of expanded on that. But yeah. So I would say that it's different. Like, being intimate, I would say, is the umbrella term, and sex falls under that. And even because I have a background in gerontology and I went to school for that, and for anyone who doesn't know what that is, it's the study of aging. And in that, I talked a lot about intimacy and sex. There are other forms of intimacy, kissing, hugging, touching, cuddling, holding hands, or, you know, there are different ways to be intimate with a person. So, yeah, I would definitely say they're different.
Yeah. Yeah, I feel like for me, a lot of times when people are craving sex, I think they or really craving physical intimacy. There's been times where I'm like, man, I am horny. Like, I'm about to lose it. It might be a time where it's just like, maybe I spend time with somebody and we like watch TV and like held mm-hmm. each other, or they, or I could mm-hmm. put my head in their bosom, and they just kind of rub my hair until I fell asleep drooling on their yeah. chest or something like that. You know, and it's things like that where I could get up in a couple of hours yeah. the next morning. I'm just like, whew.
Yeah,
that's it. That's all I needed.
Yeah,
it's especially hard for guys. Mm, in any mm-hmm. age bracket to sit
kind
there
of regulating and that.
Yeah, yeah. To know that because mm-hmm. for us, we're not looking like, do I need physical intimacy or do I
yeah.
need sex? We're just like, yo, I'm gonna get the intimacy when I'm having sex. So yeah. you know, whatever. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I feel like it's so different sometimes. Like mm-hmm. a lot of times I feel like sex is so good in that moment. Maybe even like a little bit after, but then like it wears off and you're like, you know, I'm still kind of missing that something that I need that I thought this would fulfill. But then you get like to a point where you're intimate. Like I've had situations where I've like cuddled with people, even platonically. And I'm just like, wow, you know, that really did something for mm-hmm. me, you know, release of dopamine, release of like all these really good feelings that's more lasting, that's, you know, getting me through the week. Yeah, I would say it's so different sometimes that, you know, sometimes getting that intimacy just kind of is more lasting and more fulfilling in some ways. And I also say, too, that I think when you're being intimate and physical with somebody, it's a lot better when you're doing it with somebody who you really care about, you know, versus just being like, oh, I'm going to hit up this person, like, scratch this itch and like, you know, whatever. But, and it's like, you know, I don't really want them. Or like, it wasn't anything else there. You know, yeah. I just needed to get that off my chest or whatever. Get that out of my system.
So speaking of itches and scratches, so is there in the book, do you have any, give me some stories, give me some insight about, because since you said it started with lust anyway.
Yeah.
Is there any parts of that where you like, hey, this is just a itch type of scratch situation?
There were definitely situations like that, and I think you'll see that a lot in the book. I feel like the lust section, I feel like there are parts that are intimate and sexual throughout the book, mm-hmm. But that are more like with feeling. But I feel like yeah. throughout the lust section, it's a lot more of like intensity or like, you know, fulfilling that need, scratching that itch kind of thing. And
yeah.
I think it really started with that section. I think I kind of brought the idea to Kay, and I was like, let's write this book together. Let's talk about like sex and intimacy. And I'm like, I've like touched on it in other books, but I never really fully explored it and like felt comfortable enough to explore that. And so I was writing these poems and I was sending them to her, and I was just like, oh, you know, this is new. This is kind of like exciting for me to really be able to touch on this and explore this in my writing and to like deal with, you know, things that I haven't really dealt with or feelings that were inside of me that I didn't know were inside, you know, different things like that. And so
yeah.
it was a lot of like, oh, like, how do I explain or express this sexual tension? How do I explain like the way that I felt with this person? How do I explain the after of this? So there's a lot of like that in there with the both of us of just like exploring, like, what does lust look like? Even like, outside of the act in and of itself, like, what does it look like? What does it feel like? What is the texture? What is the color? What is the shape? You know, different things like that.
That's, yo, okay. I see what you're doing. Okay. That makes a lot of sense though. Is there an inverse there for you? Do you sit there and kind of look at the way people may lust for you, and is it surreal for you, or is it something that you're used to, or you just kind of ignore it and kind of just, how do you navigate through that? And how is that covered? Like when you talk about this book and what you're doing?
Yeah, I think I've been on all sides of that. Like there are times where like I want somebody and it's mutual. And so we're like talking our stuff to each other, you know, and it's like, oh, okay. There have been times where I'm like, you know, I have no idea. And this person's like talking to me in this way. And I'm just like completely caught off guard. And I'm just like, what? or I'm the one who's like talking to them and they're like, girl, what? Like, what are you talking about? So I feel like I've been on all sides of it. And goodness, my goodness. I think I've like in various ways touched on kind of being on all sides of that in the book, and Kay as well. Like we talk about like, what is it like to want somebody, but it's like not reciprocated. And like, you're thinking these things and you're wanting these things and you're feeling these things. And you're like, oh, if we could just take it there, like if we could just have this moment, like imagine the chemistry.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
But it's like, you know, it's kind of your fantasy. Like it's in your head and it's not necessarily like reciprocated. And then there are times where we're like, I want this person, that person want me. We're writing this in the book and we're like, yeah, you know, like I'm saying this to them and they're saying this to me, and like things are sparking. And you know, there are even moments I know for sure I wrote a poem about kind of like how messy something would be if we took it there. And like, you know, I know you want these things with me, but like I have so much baggage or like so many things to unpack. And like, if we take it to this point, it's only gonna get messier. It's not gonna get any better. Like, you know, I don't think we should jump in there. So there's like, there are like all sides of the coin, I guess, or both sides of the coin.
Look, Jazz, that okay. I can't wait to read that one, because I can relate to that. Like it's hard because, you know, I know I'm conscious of my emotional baggage. I'm conscious of what I'm working on. I know sometimes, you know, I slip up, or, you know, I'm like, I fall back and I'm just like, oh God, I know I've learned these lessons already. And it's almost like you see a person that's just like doe-eyed and like, oh yeah, this will be great with us. And I'm like, I'm going to ruin your life.
Yeah, look, you don't want these problems. I promise you don't want these problems. We don't need to go there.
It's going
to
be great at first, but I am going to ruin your life. Run!
Yes, but down the road, like, this is not going to be good. We don't need to go there. No, definitely feel that. Definitely been in those situations, too.
We're down to the last segment. You know, when the last segment, you've been before, you know the vibes. You know, it's about damn time, when we say where it's about damn time for people to kind of learn, or maybe for yourself to learn. So this one I'm going to actually leave kind of open, and I want you to fill in the blank. So I'm going to say it, and then you go ahead and dive on in and tell me how you feel about it. It's about damn time I blank when it comes to love.
It's about damn time I listen to my intuition when it comes to love. And I think that's really, really a big one for me, and maybe for other people too. But like for me, I'm a very intuitive person. And sometimes I'm like, you know, my intuition is saying this, but like, whatever, girl, like, you know, just do whatever. And I've learned to tap into and trust my intuition more. Your gut is not going to steer you wrong. Usually whatever you feel about it is right. Like when I felt before that something was amiss, something was awry, something was wrong in any way, I was right.
All right, Jess, tell everybody where they can find you, where they can find Kay, where they can talk about this book. Let's go.
Yes, you can find Kay at So Emotional. Kay does a lot of music too, so like listen to her music. Lots of great stuff there. You can find me at allthatjazz_, or I just started a new poetry page. So at Quoted by Jhane, that's Jhane, and that's the name that I use for my poetry. So definitely find me there. I also put up a lot of like covers and stuff. So yeah, find me there. Keep up with us in the book. We're going through Parliari. I don't know if I'm saying that right, actually. Parliari Press, which we're so appreciative and grateful. They've been great. And we're really excited for the book to come out. It has 4 sections: love, lust, longing, and loss. And the book takes you really through the arc of like a relationship or different aspects of a relationship. And it's just lots of emotions and just really great vibes. So definitely stay tuned for that. Also, I'm sorry, but my dog is barking. He's a loudmouth. He's small. So, you know, he's got to like bark a lot to assert his dominance.
He got to show him. Yeah. But no, all that stuff will be in the show notes. And I want to make sure that people, you know, keep up with you. So when that book comes out, you know, they can go. We're ready to go, and then you can come back and we can talk more about love and lust and lost and lessons and everything else in between.
It will be great. Definitely will be a lot more to talk about, because that's a never ending topic.
Thank you so much for being a part
of this.
Thank you.
This is great as usual.
Thank you for joining me this week on It's About Damn Time. Hey, if you like what you heard, follow this podcast on Facebook, Twitter, and IG, and join the conversation on this week's episode. Link to all my socials in the show notes. You can also show love by simply giving me a 5-star rating and review on Apple Podcasts. And of course, for more blogs, pods, and other digital content, go to thewholedamnshow.com. Until next time, I'll see you next week.